He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's Thursday, 3/26/26. There's your lottery numbers for the day. The market is, well, the Dow just went positive. Look at that. So it is all based on news coming out of these talks between us and Iran. The Dow right now is up 41 points. It was down about 300 not too long ago. So something must be going on while we're speaking here. The Dow's at 46,470. This is the Best Stocks Now show, by the way, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. The NASDAQ, which was down 220, is now down just 120. How about that? 21,811. The S&P's down 24 to 65.68. The oil. Okay, oil is really the big indicator right now as to how the talks are going. Oil is up 3.9% today. Oil's at 93.83. Gold is down 2.5%, although it has kind of smoothed out here recently and has been making a little bit of a rebound. Silver down 5.7% so far today. Bitcoin is down. It was down quite a bit this morning. It's down 1866 right now. Bitcoin's at 69,664, and that 10-year, which is the other elephant in the room right now, is too high. It's at 4.36% today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and our certified financial planner, on call 24 hours a day, 24/7 if you need a financial plan. Well, the market was up yesterday, having a good day. Then it gave up about one half of its gains throughout the day. It's all news. Like I say, it's not week by week. It's not day by day. It's not even hour by hour anymore. It's minute by minute. And by the end of the day, we were still up for the day, but we gave up about half of those gains. There's still a lot of issues that are unresolved with the negotiations that are taking place with Iran. The Dow was up 0.2 points yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 0.75% yesterday. Gold was up 2.62%. But we're still pretty high print on that 10-year at 4.33, and that's because of fear of inflation. So I would say that the best proxy for how things are going between us and Iran are oil prices, and the best proxy for what the market thinks of the future of inflation is definitely that 10-year interest rate, and it's been just too high right now. But, I guess they're discussing a 15-point plan. I know one of those, Iran wants to impose a fee. We don't know what kind of a fee.
It's like they turned into the Panama Canal, I guess.
I think that's fair, depending on what the fee is. But, of course, if you don't pay the fee, they blow your ship to smithereens. That's the penalty.
Also, what do they do with the money, right? I'm sure that's another point.
Restart their nuclear ambitions, nuclear warhead ambitions. That's another issue. Depending on
who
gets, who ends up being in charge. But I'm sure there will always be those factions, the radical factions of Iran. So anyways, the ballistic missiles, the nuclear programs, the maritime routes through the Strait of Hormuz. I don't see Carnival Cruise Lines having a cruise through the Strait of Hormuz anytime soon. As that still is kind of a hot spot. Beware of those mines. It's not icebergs. It's mines, Iranian mines floating out there. And so the stock market is just kind of in a holding pattern. It vacillates maybe 2 or 3%, the individual stocks on a daily basis. And we've seen a pretty big vacillation here so far. Improvement. Seen a big improvement since the market opened. So what we want is a big breakthrough in these negotiations and a little bit of, who's going to be the new leader over there? A little bit of stability, which I don't think there's much of that yet.
Well, it's just it's interesting. You just kind of have the market floating on top of news, right?
Yep.
It's just booing back and forth, has no direction, doesn't really have a rhyme or reason at the moment. No one's really paying attention except you to earnings, and no one's paying attention to a lot right now.
Well, there's economic reports coming out. You have the Thursday initial jobless claims. They look just fine. There's no looming recession on the horizon for the U.S. economy.
Yeah, came in at consensus, 210,000.
Yeah,
they actually
low.
Got it right. Yeah, so.
We have a brand new article. I mean, the ink is still wet. I submitted the final draft of that at about 7 a.m. this morning to Seeking Alpha. And it went live shortly thereafter, and the subject matter is, it's one of those memory stocks. And you can go to Seeking Alpha. In fact, it's Micron. It's MU, which has been weak. Some knucklehead in the UK put out a $190 target price on a stock that's going to make $92 per share in 2027. And one of the things that the editors from Seeking Alpha came back at me with was, where do you get this $92 per share in earnings number for 2027, which is their next year fiscal year? I said, well, that's the consensus estimate. That's not me. I'm just using the consensus estimate straight from FactSet Research. So that obviously satisfied them.
Well, they should have looked at their own website. Their own website has the, if you look up MU on Seeking Alpha, down at the bottom left-hand corner, if you go down a little bit, earnings estimates, 2027, $98.55.
Well, they're a lot higher than we are. We're at $92, okay?
Right.
And the stock is trading at about 330 or so, so it's trading at less than four times 2027 earnings. How do you value the stock? Well, I did my formula, and you can look it up on Seeking Alpha. You go read that article. We also sent out an email blast, or we will send out an email blast, with the link to that article. Now, Seeking Alpha has their rules, and I don't know how it all works, but it's all we can do is send out
free
the blast.
Clicks. Yeah, right.
You're allowed so many free looks, and then they want you to subscribe, and everybody's looking for money. You know, I get 4 weeks free. I don't even ask for a credit card. And Seeking Alpha won't even let you read an article. I mean, isn't that the whole point of Seeking Alpha, is to have these articles available to the public? I don't quite understand their, why they're so persnickety about this, but I can't change it. It's their website. So anyway, the initial jobless claims doing good. I find this story interesting. This is kind of like the third rail of politics. This is the one you can't talk about. But we're talking six more years, Barry, Mr. Financial Planner, Certified Financial Planner. Current estimates from the Social Security Administration and the Congress Budget Office suggest that there are only six more years before Social Security funds will face solvency problems. Kind of sounds like the private credit markets.
Yeah,
and all payments would have to be reduced by 25%. Like I say, this is the third rail, but it's either do nothing. This is what happened to Club Med, Greece, Spain, Italy, Portugal, the pigs, when all of a sudden the young people weren't donating enough or were not funding enough to support the older people, and they faced major cuts in their benefits. And, this has got to be worked on. And
well,
you just can't kick the can down the road anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they went up, you know, you got to remember during COVID, they actually went up, you know, I think we had a 7% increase one time. You had another, you know, sizable increase. Doesn't go up with inflation perfectly, but it does go up. And those, I mean, you know, those payments have, I mean, it's not like they don't go down, right? We talked about inflation. It doesn't go the other way. It just rises a little bit less, right? And so, I mean, it's something that's been on the horizon for a long time. And, you know, frankly, our electorate doesn't seem like they want to elect people to fix it. So it's
no,
not
I mean, we don't seem to vote
about.
For people that want to fix it. We get mad at people that want to fix it.
Austerity. But, yeah, we don't want that.
The prediction back in 1983 when we passed the last big set of reforms was that we were going to have 75 years of solvency. But now we're down to just 6. So something has to give. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, some of the ideas for shoring up Social Security, raise the age. I think as we live longer now, I think that is a viable option. I don't know how much of a dent that would put in the gap that's coming. But I think that's a viable option. And, of course, always they talk about raising taxes. Raise taxes to put into the Social Security fund.
Well, in cutting, I've seen, you know, when you hit the max in terms of wages that can go to Social Security, I've also seen, you know, basically moving that cap or removing that cap or some form or fashion, which is also a tax for those involved that are in that in that particular income space. So, yeah, I mean, I guess on the good side is they've got a lot of dials to turn, you know, and it's a very complicated program. So the more complex it is, the more dials you have to turn.
Yeah.
You got to have the will. You got to have the will to turn them from, you know, politicians who are, you know, elected by the people
austerity
measures. Yeah, austerity measures just don't poll very well, put it that way.
And one last one that I haven't mentioned is not giving benefits to people that make over $185,000 a year. They don't.
Certainly.
You pay into it all your life.
But you can't get
it. Sorry. Sorry. Too bad. U.S. Army raises maximum. Now, they're raising the age limit. Recruitment to 42 years. I mean, they must need some soldiers. They're raising the
pretty athletic 42-year-olds out there.
Yeah,
now,
I could still get through a foxhole. I think at my age, 35 years to 42. Now you can go join the Army. So that's a sign of the times. Okay, I think this was a big story from yesterday, and you have to rethink the social media stocks now. You really do. You know, I remember back in the 70s, the lawsuits and the huge awards being given in the tobacco war and the tobacco stocks. Now it's social media. And they proved back in the mid-70s that big tobacco found that adding a little ammonia to the equation of tobacco would make it even more addictive than it already was.
Just a little
evil and conspiring men addict you to their product. And yesterday, Houston, a jury in New Mexico found that, number one, Facebook had designed their system and their platform to be addictive.
The algorithm, yeah.
And then in Los Angeles, two people, or maybe it was one person, got it. No, it was a group. It was
a class,
1,200 people are going to split up, 6 million total. 4 from Facebook and 2 from YouTube, which is Google, Alphabet. And like I say, this could open Pandora's box.
Yeah, and that second suit, I believe, was what was settled. A couple others, Snap and TikTok, actually settled their portion of that suit.
And they decided to fight it. The other two, but they were found liable for addiction in young women. So that whether that's a landmark case and opens Pandora's box. I think it's going to cool off, and they have not been doing well. Big tech has been doing terrible. You look at the Fabulous Seven, they've been doing awful for the most part. Meta stock has a bad chart. Google stock has
yesterday.
A bad chart.
Meta's
Microsoft,
19.
Right? I know. I mean, Microsoft, bad chart. All of a sudden, big tech is kind of falling out of favor with the public. And these awards yesterday don't bode well for the sentiment on these stocks, and it could open them up. I just think back to Big Tobacco. I think back to some of the companies that were involved with asbestos.
Roundup. I mean, even Roundup.
I mean, this could be a huge liability with no limit, and it's worldwide. No, they're already being fined in other countries in Europe and Australia for letting kids in under age 18. And I think social media is not good. There's some good to it, but for the most part, I don't think it's healthy.
Well, we've always joked around about the fact that there's only a couple of industries that refer to their customers or clients as users, right? And that would be social media companies and
drugs.
Drug dealers, right?
That's
so,
it is a drug.
Put that in perspective, and
these kids are just on social media all the time. They're not out playing. I was out playing wiffle ball. Or football, or throwing frisbees, or body surfing, or making something. I wasn't staring into my iPhone 10 hours a day. I don't think it's healthy, and I think there's a lot of fighting going on. There's a lot of contention that takes place. There is some good, but it is without question addictive, and that's what they want. I mean, the social media companies want you on their platform as much as possible, because that's eyeballs, and that's how they determine how much they charge for advertising, right?
Yeah,
so they have a real conflict of interest.
Well, and they've got the other thing, too, is they're providing a free platform, right? And your payment is your information. I mean,
your eyeballs, your interest.
Data. Yeah.
Blue Owl, peers push back on private credit risk amid market jitters. They say, now they're kind of the head of the snake right now. They have not seen a rise in defaults within its loan book, according to co-chief executive. This stock probably has 2 or 3 articles every day written about it on Seeking Alpha. I wouldn't touch it. And others are saying, well, that 10% dividend yield on Blue Owl is safe. What are you talking about? I wouldn't touch it. But they're claiming that they're not seeing an increase in defaults. Yesterday you had BlackRock come out and say it's not even close to what 2007, 2008 looked like. And on the other hand, you had Mohammed El-Erian, former CEO of PIMCO, worked side by side with Bill Gross, saying that he thinks it is as bad as 2007 and 2008. But we'll keep our eye on this. And I did see that Apollo Group, which is also up to their eyeballs, they're floating a bond. Okay, we know where bond yields are right now. If you can get 5, you're lucky. Apollo is 5.7, so that tells you something about the perceived risk. And I would not touch an Apollo Group bond at 5.7. But there's currently $1.8 trillion tied up in this private credit market. The big thing that's happening right now are the withdrawals. And I got to say that I would think that they're floating that bond at Apollo to help out with redemptions so they have cash on hand. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we're kind of being held, the markets are being held hostage, I think it's fair to say, by this situation in Iran. There's not a lot we can do. We do have the Dow now up 84, but the NASDAQ is underwater pretty big today. It's down 143 points right now. Gold, which has been recovering lately, is down 2.2%, and that all-important indicator, crude oil, up 3% right now to $93.06. Well, one of the ways I find Best Stocks Now is when all of a sudden the fortunes of a company change dramatically for the good. And that's happened recently. We've bought a few that all of a sudden it's just like, wow, big changes there. And all of a sudden they're big players in certain industries. Well, there's one today that Wedbush is pointing out, and that's what pointed me to it. That's why I go through the news on these stocks every morning. Sometimes that will point me, what I'm looking for are the best stocks now to look through the charts of every day. And when I read this news, Tower Semiconductor having control of TPCO, which stands for Tower Partners Semiconductors. That's a smaller company, which is owns a 12-inch fab and foundry business. But Tower now has full ownership of it. Wedbush says this likely means meaningful upside for Tower. Okay, so what do? I go to my app. I look at the performance, number one. And this is what I teach at my newsletter. You begin with the track record. I don't care if you're going to opening day of baseball today at 1 o'clock in San Diego, where the Padres take on the Detroit Tigers. And the best pitcher in baseball these days, probably, Skubal, is pitching against the Padres. He could no-hit us. I don't know. We'll be watching on TV. Or if you're going to the horse races, you're going to open up the racing form and look at the track record of the darn horse. That's the best place to start. So let's go to Tower Semiconductor, TSEM, which is, I believe, about a $20 billion company. Yeah, $20.2 billion. So it is a small cap. It's an aggressive, on the aggressive side, but the performance has been pretty remarkable. 10-year average return, total return, 32%. Market's 22%. So this one has kind of flown under the radar for me because I think these numbers have improved dramatically recently. Over the last 5 years, TSEM has delivered 47% returns versus 14% for the S&P 500. You've got the 3-year returns of 66% per year on this stock. And get this, over the last 12 months, it's up 380%. What the heck is going on? So it passes the performance test with flying colors. I mean, this is looking like looking at the racing form and seeing a horse that's ran nine times and he's won eight times, you know, by two or three lengths. That's a pretty chart on a horse. This stock's got a pretty dang pretty chart. Now, obviously, that's looking in the past. We're going to look to the future, and we do that through the five-year valuations, which, by the way, I did on my in my Micron article today. I was kind of prompted to do that article when I read the crazy target price that that guy put out, and the market seemed to believe it.
Right.
$190 a share, that's what it's worth, he says, 1 year from now. And I go, wow, the consensus on FactSet is $533. How can you be at $190? But there's always people like that, Barry. I mean, there's perma-bears. There's people that love shorting stocks.
Well, and you're starting to hear that, some of the recession just in the news, some of the
there's always
talk,
bears.
Right? So some of those economists that you haven't seen in a while are starting to come back out a little
outliers.
Bit.
We call them outliers. And I think having liars in that part of the
and a lot of times you drop those, you know, those outliers, you drop those estimates off. I mean, you can have somebody who's way on the high side, too.
Yes.
And,
what would it be without the outliers? Maybe it's 550, 600. But we put out our target price and our justification. I mean, how we arrived at it on Micron. Well, Towers got 84%. That's using a 15% growth rate. So now I've got to go and look at what their growth rate has been recently is 15%. That is the consensus growth rate right now. Is that too high? Is that in the ballpark? Well, I would say it's a little bit on the optimistic side, but I think it's totally achievable. I see their last couple of years, their growth has been 19% and then 30% and then 64%. So I think 15 is pretty conservative. And you get an 84% upside potential. For some reason, the chip stocks are really under pressure today. There must be news. I didn't see it. But Towers down 6.5% so far this morning. But I'll tell you what, then the last thing I look at after the performance and the five-year target price, the upside potential, is the chart. This chart hit a new all-time high yesterday as it got closed in on $200 per share. But for whatever reason, the semiconductor sector, which has been the best sector in the market for many years, yesterday it had a good day. You had ARM Holdings, which is the next one I want to talk about. A few others did really well. But this Tower Semiconductor is definitely worth taking a look at, as Wedbush, I think, makes a good case for it, and which pointed me to the app, and I looked it up on the app. And the app, you know, this stock is ranked right now. I want to say it gets an A-plus overall grade. No, not quite, but A-minus. It's ranked number 73 out of 5,209. So just say it's on our radar, and we'll be watching it. It would, if we were to buy it, it would end up in the ultra growth portfolio more than likely at a $20 billion market cap. Definitely not the premier growth. And it wouldn't end up in the value, relative value, because it's got a forward PE ratio of 39 right now. But anyways, I wanted to bring that to your attention. The other one whose fortunes have dramatically changed here, and it can happen very quickly, is ARM, which
after
I believe is a UK company.
Right.
ARM yesterday is probably dead. No, it's up again today. It's got some life in its step. So I go to the app. You know, I don't need to go download a 200-page research report on the stock
right.
and pay $50 for it from some stiff in the UK. ARM right now has, let's look at their track record first. Okay, it hasn't been public for that long. It was public, and then SoftBank bought it. They took it private, and then they rolled it out again. And since it's come back as a public company, over the last 12 months, it's up 26%. It does not have a three-year record. It has a 12-month record. It's doubled the returns almost of the S&P 500. It gets a momentum grade of A+, ARM. Now, ARM is a large cap. It would end up in the premier growth portfolio if we were to make a stab at it. And the valuation, which I dusted off and checked my valuation on it, 110% upside potential. That's using a 19% growth rate. So it gets an A+ valuation grade. It gets an A+ momentum grade. This stock is ranked number 4 overall.
Well,
out of 5,209 stocks.
Yeah, and that news yesterday, kind of as you say, stocks follow earnings. So the announcement was that they're going to begin building a chip, and that particular chip is going to likely bring about $30 billion in revenue in a couple of years. And so that's an earnings driver, assuming that they have a decent margin on it. And that's where, kind of that repricing and where that 110% comes from.
Yes, and there's a lesson in it. I mean, number one, something has to draw your attention to a company in the first place. And number two, then you go to that track record, you go to that valuation, then you look at a chart. ARM is the one that we were talking about yesterday that has the big saucer pattern, which I have found to be very bullish over the years. So there's another one on the Gunderson radar list right now. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do. Do whatever you wanna do. Hey, you gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. A little bit more on this ARM Holdings story. It's worthy of note that Needham is the one that is upgrading the stock. They've been on the sidelines on ARM for 2.5 years. And we have too. I mean, I have not liked ARM very much at all. Now they see a series of their high-stake bets raising royalty rates, going into subsystems, and making its own chips are working. These bold moves should disrupt the existing industry landscape, and they think that with this new chip, they've become a credible AI play, and they raise their target price to $200, and the stock's trading at $153 right now. And ARM's first two customers with their new CPU is Meta and OpenAI. So those are two pretty good customers. Okay,
yeah,
the other one,
not too bad to sell into them, huh?
No, another one I want to mention here. You know, North Carolina is becoming a big hub for a lot of things. I have a friend who works for a big contract manufacturer of drugs. A lot of these pharmaceutical companies design the drugs, make the formulas, and then they contract out somebody making them. So North Carolina has become a major hub for the financial sector, the banking sector. It's really become probably one of the biggest banking centers in America. Now I see that in Greensboro, North Carolina, Lumentum, which is a very important AI stock, they make fiber optics for data centers. They plan to establish a new manufacturing facility in Greensboro, North Carolina, to produce advanced lasers for the world's largest AI data centers. A 240,000 square foot facility is currently operational and will be retrofitted to manufacture Lumentum's NP-based optical products.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And NVIDIA will serve as a customer of the facility. They bought this site from Qorvo, which is a semiconductor chip maker, which is kind of a low-end semiconductor maker. Lumentum plans to invest hundreds of millions of dollars over the next several years to scale production and strengthen advanced manufacturing capabilities at the site while preserving and creating over 400 U.S. manufacturing jobs. I've tried to get a radio show in North Carolina. I have not checked. I checked Charlotte, and there really was nothing. Maybe we need to check Salem. Maybe we need to check some of the other cities in North Carolina. But it is booming. It is just absolutely booming right now.
Yeah, I mean, description of what does your company do? It's like we make lasers for data centers. I'm like, we make lasers for data centers.
That's
okay.
Yeah, well, it's actually and it's fiber optics, so it's for the networking of them all, connecting them all.
That's the light versus the copper that you've been talking about.
And it's that high speed. Astera Labs uses copper still, which is still in play, and they do laser. We talked to a guy when we were in San Jose that was working on some kind of networking in data centers, a startup. It was a startup, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something along these lines. Now, the other big thing that's taking place today, I see three autonomous stories. L. Harris wins a contract for submarine-launched underwater drone systems. Now, my father was the chief torpedo man on the USS Paddle in World War II, and he did help sink a few Japanese ships. Now, I guess instead of torpedoes, they're going to launch underwater drones, which obviously have a lot more capability. I'm looking at a picture of this thing. It does look like a torpedo, but it is a drone. So that's story number one. HII, Huntington Ingalls, which I want to say is in Virginia. They make submarines and other ships. They're expanding their unmanned vessel plans with a new Louisiana facility. And they're also doing a big push into robotics. They've got a picture of this unmanned surface vessel, which they're going to assemble at a facility in Louisiana. So you've got another. It's the Romulus Unmanned Surface Vehicle. Now, I don't know what's going to be inside of it, but I'm guessing some kind of weaponry or something. But it won't need an admiral. You won't have to salute anybody. It will be autonomous. And then the third story, Texas is the test track for U.S. autonomous truck development. Well, I mean, there's 200,000 truck drivers that came to this country illegally that they're cracking down on. I mean, they're not supposed to be able to get a commercial driver's license, but they 200,000 of them on the roads. Texas, and that's coming, is the autonomous truck development where you'll have these trucks without drivers in them. A little scary.
I saw a pilot program, and you had that had some of these. I think they were truck drivers driving the Tesla semi, and they were you kind of sit more in the middle. It's you've got some little bit better vision and. You know, from at least from the story, they the folks truckers liked them. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Well, you've got Einride, which will be the Austin San Antonio corridor. You want to be on the lookout for driverless trucks. They're going to try to prove the safety of these things, and then you've got Gatek, which is operating fully driverless trucks at commercial scale on public roads day and night, including in the Dallas-Fort Worth region. The company says the freight-only trucks run without a human driver or safety observer and have completed more than 60,000 fully driverless orders and over 10,000 driverless miles. And then there's another one, Plus AI, developing autonomous trucking software with plans for Texas road operations by 2027. So a lot taking place there in Texas. And we're out of time. Well, there is a upgrade by Morgan Stanley of one we haven't talked about in a while, Constellation Energy, which is the big nuclear company up in the New Jersey, Baltimore area. We're out of time. All eyes, minute by minute, news coming out of Iran. Keep your eye on oil prices. You got a sell-off in the AI stocks today. I'm not sure what that's all about, but I'm ready to dig in. In the meantime, get 4 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com or set up an appointment with us at 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.